I was just wondering, when Cinderella flies in an airline, does she travel coach? Hi, I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Daniel, and welcome to our April 18th edition of the Laughing Place Podcast.
Today we have a very royal episode planned for everyone.
We will be taking you to the world of Disney to experience the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, count down the top 10 castles, as well as give our thoughts on news, trivia, and talk about a new attraction for the World Showcase in Armchair Imagineering. So let's get things started with the news.
Two of the stars of Disney Pixar's exciting new computer-animated feature, Cars, will race straight off the movie screen and into the real world as actual life-sized models of hotshot rookie race car Lightning McQueen and Sally Carrera. We'll hit the road today for Disney Pixar's Cars Road Trip 06. This promotional tour will travel across North America. Visit LaughingPlace.com's latest page for the complete list of dates and locations. The Behind the Magic exhibit, highlighting Walt Disney Imagineering's work in the theme parks, will be showcased at Oakland's Museum of California from May 6th through August 20th, 2006. The exhibit features never-before-seen artwork and props and artifacts from Disney destinations. About 102,000 rechargeable battery packs sold with Disney brand DVD players are being recalled because they can overheat and possibly burst when recharging, posing a risk of burns.
Honey, we blew up the kids. Literally.
The Orlando Sentinel reports the German tourist who died following a ride on Mission Space had severe high blood pressure. According to the preliminary autopsy, she died from a stroke. The Sentinel also reported that Epcot's Mission Space receives more than twice as many reported illnesses and injuries as any other Disney attraction.
And while that number is pretty low, I still think that it is a sign that maybe Disney went a little bit too far with Mission Space. I don't think really that it's a dangerous attraction, but it makes me wonder if maybe they have stretched themselves a little bit too far into the thrill area of attractions, and maybe they should have stayed more in the middle. The problem with negative publicity like this is because it is a new ride system, and so people will be more apprehensive about riding the attraction, if not for worry of major injury, just worry of feeling sick or having their vacation somewhat marred by an unpleasant experience, because most people don't want to be going on a Disney attraction worrying about whether or not they're going to enjoy it or feel sick afterwards. So again, I think Mission Space maybe should have been a little bit tamer.
According to the Orlando Sentinel, Universal Studios Florida is planning a nighttime spectacular to compete with Walt Disney World theme parks. The show is entitled Universal 360, A Cinesphere Spectacular, and will feature famous films film scenes projected on four huge spheres floating on barges in the park's central lagoon. The film clips will be choreographed to movie-themed music, playing from a new 300-speaker sound system and accompanied by fireworks and lasers.
Sounds like reflections of Universal, if you ask me.
We have gathered here tonight to pay tribute to our movies.
At Islands of Adventure, the ride track built for the never-open Sylvester McMonkey McBean's Very Unusual Driving Machines will finally be utilized for a new attraction, the High in the Sky Seuss Trolley Train Ride.
I think it's rather fascinating. It seems like a lot of rides with elevated tracks, like Rocket Rods and Sylvester McMonkey McBean, tend to have problems. I think that no theme park should ever build attractions that go in and out of buildings above sidewalks anymore. It seems to be cursed.
The Meet the Robinsons trailer has been released on the official Disney website. The movie's release date is targeted for spring 2007.
Next spring, two of the world's greatest minds are in a race to create the most astonishing invention ever imagined.
Prepare to be amazed!
One is in it for the glory.
I invented it! Me!
The other...
Where are we going?
To find a family he's never had.
This family's a little different.
Now, here's what you gotta do. You gotta help me find my teeth.
Walt Disney Pictures presents Meet the Robinsons.
I haven't slept in 8 days. I've got the caffeine patch. Each patch is the equivalent of 12 cups of coffee. You can stay awake for days with no side effects. Sorry.
Coming to theaters next spring.
I find it very interesting that they use the Sky Captain World of Tomorrow music. Kind of wonder if that's a bad omen or something. I wonder if it'll take the place of Dragonheart that was the trailer music for everything.
Today's trivia question is, what full-length animated Disney movie has the most princesses in it? The answer is coming up.
Recently, at the World of Disney store at Downtown Disney in Florida, Disney opened Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, a place for young girls to get a very special Disney makeover and become Disney princesses. At the entrance of a store, a mannequin comes to life giving interesting messages.
Here at the World of Disney, did you see Cinderella's carriage outside? I hope she doesn't stay at the ball past midnight. I'm not too sure a pumpkin would look as nice on the building. I just love to dress up and play. My favorite princess is Aurora. Can't you tell by my beautiful costume? You also know her as Sleeping Beauty. What's your favorite princess?
Be glad this isn't a video podcast, people. It's scary.
At the boutique itself are three different options. You can get the coach makeover where you get one hairstyle and makeup for $35. You can get the crown makeover where you get a hairstyle, makeup, and nails for $45. Or you can get the castle makeover where you get hairstyle, makeup, nails, and your choice of a child's princess costume with accessories and a princess photo shoot including an imaging package for $175. While obviously neither of us have been able to experience this firsthand, I have seen many results, and I think they do a very nice job. For the more manly set, there's the Adventurer's Room, which features a talking pirate.
Arrgh! Arrgh! Ahoy there, mateys! Welcome to the Adventure Room here at the World of Disney! Arrgh! The name's Rusty Blade, first mate of the Wicked Wench. This here be Pollyanna on me shoulder. Belay that, and greet me new shipmates.
Welcome aboard.
See there, mateys. Did ye happen to see me first mate manning the wheel out there on deck? He's looking a wee bit thinner than he used to. Be sure you tell him to keep a weather eye out for the Kraken. Of course, I wouldn't worry too much if I was him. Sea monsters prepare things with a little more meat on their bones.
I think my favorite part of this is the skeleton that pops up from the barrel just to say, "Dead men tell no tales." And the gerbil wearing Mickey ears is also very cute.
When entering the Adventurer's Room from the outside entrance, you'll pass these grim-looking skeleton prisoners who shake the jail doors trying to get out, and actually it's just a neat little effect. It's pretty cool looking.
And once again, a big Stitch statue is reduced to spitting at you, because apparently Stitch is only used for spitting these days.
But in this case, he currently has Easter ears. Well, he did, like, a couple of days ago, so that was kind of amusing.
Also available merchandising-wise in the Adventurer's Room is the ability to fill up a treasure chest or a skull with jewels and eyeballs and bugs and various things. It's a cute idea, I just wish that more of the items seemed to be higher quality. A lot of them seemed kind of like items you'd get at Chuck E. Cheese for 5 tickets, as opposed to the nice jewels or maybe even gemstone rocks or something that would make it a little bit more appealing, I think. So next time you're at Walt Disney World, you may check out the new rooms at the World of Disney. And now it's time for Armchair Imagineering,
where we do our best to come up with interesting ideas for Disney destinations around the world. This week's topic is an attraction for World Showcase at Epcot. First of all, I would have to say that definitely it should be a ride with three-dimensional props and very little film, because one problem that Epcot has of current is way too much film-based attraction, so I would veer away from that as far as possible and try to go very three-dimensional with whatever theming you're going to use. Honestly, I would also try to stay away from something too thrilling, because Future World has gone, you know, Mission Space and Test Track, which are more thrilling attractions, and I don't think that it really needs another one over at the World Showcase. I think that it has an okay balance right now. I think it really should be something the whole family can enjoy. Now, with that being said, there aren't a lot of spots for a World Showcase ride. There is a big area of land, if you were to get rid of the Millennium Village area between the United Kingdom and Canada, which would be a prime spot. And let's just start with that area. Do you have any ideas on that space?
Well, for where it's located, I'm not exactly sure what he would do. It's like Canada the ride. I mean, what exactly would you do for that? I guess you could do like a winter sports attraction or something for that, I guess. And perhaps with the UK, do something sort of like some sort of legends that they have, you know, because they have their castles and their sort of legends behind the castle. You could do something sort of mystical and fantasy-ish with that.
Well, I think you touched on a very good point, and that is, are there a lot of countries left that would lend themselves easily to rides? And yeah, I mean, most of them you could put in rides, but I honestly think that something that might be a better choice would be to something that focuses on countries in general. Like you mentioned myths, I think that an attraction that focuses on, like, the myths of monsters of various different cultures in some sort of thrilling attraction could be as interesting as just focusing on one particular place. The risk you have in doing a cursory overlook or a broad overlook of different countries is just to get the immersion, because obviously if you theme it to a specific place in the world, it's easy to immerse your guests in that experience. And if you try to build an attraction that focuses on lots of different countries and lots of different myths, then it becomes a little more hairy, and it becomes more like the problem I think with Spaceship Earth is that it has trouble connecting in terms of it's not as cohesive of an experience. So it's tough. In one way, there's not obvious choices for those countries, and you would want to do something that includes all the countries. But then on the other hand, it is harder to theme an attraction that involves more than one country in it. But there are lots of different unifying aspects of countries. Like, you could do, I mean, it's not as much something that lends itself to a ride, but stuff that is about, like, how people celebrate, how people dance, how different cultures approach various topics. And some of them wouldn't really lend themselves easily to rides. Some of them would. You would have to pick and choose which ones you use. And I just think that something that that looks over a lot of different countries' cultures may be an easier fit. Now, thinking more towards Canada and the UK, obviously, if Disney were to get a Harry Potter Harry Potter contract, you could maybe put that in there, although that would veer World Showcase a little bit away from the realistic and more towards modern myth, which they may not want to do just because they wouldn't want Epcot to become dated. Because as popular as the Harry Potter books are, so it would be similar to building a Narnia attraction. As popular as it is, it's not quite the same as if you were to make attraction based on dragon myths, at least not in my opinion. I think it still would feel a little different and maybe a little bit more modern, too trendy. But on the other hand, Epcot is somewhat trendy with its Future World, so I don't know exactly how untrendy World Showcase should be. And obviously, a Harry Potter ride would certainly get rid of any complaints that Epcot is not a park that children would be interested in, because just that one attraction would bring in loads of children and to the World Showcase. So I could see both the positives and the negatives of, you know, putting an attraction like that there.
Well, what if they had it where the attractions that they build are actually technologies used from the various countries to even bring in more authenticity. It'd be sort of like a focus on the technology of that country while at the same time bringing the sort of stories behind that country to life at the same time.
Then you could have Vekoma in the Vekoma roller coaster in whatever country they're from. It's somewhere in Europe. I'm not, or the B&M, which I'm not sure either. I think they're German based. I'm not positive, but both of those could be in their own countries. Or the Zamperla. I'm pretty sure they're from Italy, so you could have the Zamperla Carnival with a bunch of stinky cycle rides.
Well, that concludes our Armchair Imagineering segment. Next week, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of an Armchair Imagineering, we're going to simply discuss some of our favorite uses of landscaping in a Disney theme park.
So if you have any ideas or comments or whatnot, you could call us at 1-866-327-5072. If you're under 18 years of age, please ask a parent or guardian permission before calling. Or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com or post in the podcast section of the Laughing Place discussion boards, and we'll surf through there and pick up what you gotta say. So
on Disney's Virtual Magic Kingdom, April is Quest Month, so every day they're going to be doing online quests from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. with additional quests over the weekends. Also, keep an eye open at the Emporium on the weekends as they have been releasing some of the Tomorrowland retro pins.
This week in Disney history, April 18th marks the 12th anniversary of the Beauty and the Beast Broadway show. April 18th also marks the 4th anniversary of Primeval World and Triceratops Spin. April 22nd marks the 8th anniversary of Disney's Animal Kingdom.
The trivia question was, what full-length animated Disney movie has the most princesses in it? The answer is The Little Mermaid, where Dryden has 7 daughters. Today's top 10 list is about castles, the greatest castles in movies and theme parks. Number 10, King Arthur's Castle in The Sword in the Stone. Number 9, Prince John's Castle in Robin Hood.
It's really sad the way this castle was built, because apparently it burns really easily for stone, so it couldn't have been built with that good of specifications.
I really would have hated to be the person that has to carry all that money up to, like, the 13th story of this castle. I hope they get, like, at least a share of what's going up there.
Knowing Prince John, they probably got taxed on it.
Number 8, the Castle in the Clouds in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Watch that first step, it's a doozy!
Number 7, the Beast's Castle in Beauty and the Beast.
I have a question. Did they, like, spend 10 years building all those stained glass windows so they could have them the opening narration, or did the witch make that naturally? Or should the prince have been smart enough to realize he was going to turn into a beast since it was already prophesized on his windows?
I don't know about 10 years of building, but there was 10 years of resting. Number 6, the castle in The Prince and the Pauper.
Very pretty castle with very slippery floors, which leads to the entire plot happening.
Double the Mickey, double the fun. Number 5, King Triton's Castle in The Little Mermaid.
Infamous for reasons which we will not discuss on this podcast.
Number 4, Claire Pavel in The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Which is home to King Burger King.
Number 3, Cinderella Castle at The Magic Kingdom in Tokyo Disneyland.
Which sadly no longer has the Mystery Tour in Tokyo Disneyland, although I'm assuming they're going to be replacing it with another attraction. So hopefully we'll see it when I get out there for the first time. When I do get out there for the first time.
If you do get out there for the first time.
Yes, if I do get out there for the first time.
Number 2, Sleeping Beauty Castle at Disneyland Park and Hong Kong Disneyland.
Now, before all the Walt Disney World fans write us hate mail, let me explain the reason why that this castle is above Cinderella Castle is because, yes, it may not be as impressive in height, but the actual castle is arguably prettier, and I have evidence there is more merchandise sold with Sleeping Beauty Castle on it than Cinderella Castle, so obviously somebody else agrees.
I dig the mountains, though, in Hong Kong. I dig them.
It's too bad they can't duplicate that experience somewhere at Disneyland, but I have a hunch that the city of Santa Ana wouldn't like that too much.
They could put up like a big backdrop, you know, like a big bat painting behind it. Yeah, that would really work. And now, number one, Le Château de la Bellebois d'Omar at Disneyland Paris.
And we apologize in advance for the French accent.
Yeah, I'm pretty horrible, but
I really like the way the castle uses the hillside to diminish how tall it is, because it is a tall castle, but yet it doesn't feel as imposing to the nearby buildings because they're able to use the hillside to diminish how tall the castle is. It's very effective. And it also has a dungeon with a dragon in it. How cool is that? So that ends our very royal episode of Bad Accents of the Laughing Place podcast.
So, if you have any comments or questions, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. If you're under 18 years of age, please ask your parents or guardians permission before calling. Or you can post in our discussion boards under the podcast section. We'll read your posts and possibly include them in the show. Or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com.
And send all accent hate mail care of Jonathan. And speaking of Jonathan, here he is with our last word.
Why, thank you, Daniel. A princess's castle is her home.
Goodbye.
See ya.